Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
I'm at the Central Fellowship Christian Academy in Macon, Georgia.
Is it okay to come in?
And when I step into the classroom of Deanna Jump, I quickly realize two things. She loves to teach. I mean, she's got her first graders singing about spider anatomy. And like many teachers, she's really good at it. Yet, for most of her 17 years in the classroom, she and her husband, also a teacher, struggled financially.
Like probably 90% of the teachers in America, I was juggling bills. Like, okay, I can pay the electricity bill this week, and I've got seven more days before they turn off the water.
But she loved her job and kept coming up with fun and creative ways to teach, like using apples and worms.
So it's just a pictorial way to display data.
Or scarecrows for math, and something called chit-chat for reading comprehension.
And then I say, chit-chat, and the kids say, okay.
Her little ideas might never have left her classroom were it not for a chance conversation with another teacher.
And she said, your stuff is so good, you have got to get it on Teachers Pay Teachers. And I said, I don't even know what Teachers Pay Teachers is.
Teachers Pay Teachers is a website that allows teachers to sell their ideas to one another. I spoke via Skype to TPT's founder, a former teacher, now living in France.
Teachers Pay Teachers, we operate an online marketplace, sort of like eBay or Etsy, where teachers, now over 1.1 million of them, can buy, sell, and share their original teaching ideas and resources with each other.
In most cases, the units cost from $5 to $8 a pop, which hardly seems like a get-rich-quick formula.
The first year I made $300.
But one teacher told another, then another, and soon Jump's ideas like Fun on the Farm or Where's My Mummy were hits. At last count, she has sold over 161,000 units.
The published accounts I've read have said that you have made in excess of $1 million.
Yes. Yes.
That's not what we think of with teachers.
No.
No one's been more shocked than Jump's husband, Ed, a college professor of finance and marketing, no less.
What is it like to have a $1 million first grade teacher showing you up in the house?
You know, I don't know. I that's great, you know, because never in our dreams would we ever think of making that kind of money.
Jump says the money hasn't changed her. She still goes to school every day in her Kia, but she no longer worries about the bills. And every day she shows up in classrooms far beyond Central Georgia.
Spain, which was like, wow, Spain. Africa. I got an email from a lady in Africa who was using my stuff. Canada.
She's got notebooks of ideas still to come and says other teachers could easily do what she's done and hopes they do. And I got to say, given all the teachers have done for me and my kids, I kind of like the idea of them making as much as investment bankers. Martin Savage, CNN, Macon, Georgia.
Quitting 9-to-5 to hit the slopes is a fantasy many only dream of. For Tanya Hester and her husband Mark Bungie, that dream is a reality. Hester was just 38 years old when she retired.
Do you think you'll go back into the workforce at some point?
I hope to never have a traditional job again. I don't want to have to go in and be there at 9 o'clock and leave at 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or whatever it is.
They're both part of a trend, people leaving behind the traditional workforce for something different, and some are following their lead. And it's picking up steam among millennials, garnering headlines. They're choosing very different paths than previous generations who prioritized buying homes and starting families.
So I think for many, early retirement or saving toward financial independence is sort of just a way of saying like, okay, well, no one else is going to help me be secure or safe in my older years, and so I have to do that for myself.
Hester and her husband are completely financially independent.
We earned good incomes, and it was really just letting time do the work.
How much time?
From the time that we decided to retire early until we actually did it was about 6 years. We definitely saved very quickly and aggressively in that time.
With very strict budgeting, including wearing parkas inside during winter to keep the heating bills down, Hester and her husband were able to quit stressful political consulting jobs 2 years ago with very healthy retirement accounts in place.
We were able to kind of constrain our lifestyle and not inflate it year over year as a lot of people do as you earn more, and really focus on earning more, banking our raises.
Hester and her husband are part of a movement called FIRE,
financial independence to retire early. Most people who follow FIRE aim to save half of their take-home income after tax and spend less, picking and choosing exactly where their money goes. But it doesn't take complete financial independence to make the jump into an alternative lifestyle. Just ask Sarah Solomon.
Right now, I am outside of my camper van, just cruising around New Zealand and exploring. And then I have this great little table where I set up my laptop and do work in the morning.
Or Nathan Krasinski.
Running with the dogs, it's a kind of euphoric feeling. It feels like you're just riding a magic carpet.
He deferred a future in chemical engineering for life on the Alaskan frontier, mushing dogs.
I went to school for 6 years. A lot of time spent sitting down in the library. It's kind of ready for something different, change of pace, and take a little detour.
What you doing there?
But Solomon doesn't know when or if she's ever coming back.
When I left New York City, I said, oh, I'll go for a year. I'll travel for a year, and then I'll come back and, you know, probably get a job again. It's obviously been longer than a year with, you know, no end in sight.
She left an enviable job at a big publicity firm.
But I started getting a little tired of just the same 9-to-5 routine every day, getting up, going to work, and just repeating it. And I was a little unhappy at my, you know, at one of my jobs, so I started looking for other opportunities.
And now works as a freelance publicist from anywhere around the world, be it Guatemala or Hawaii.
One of the things I've found amongst millennials is that they have an idealized image of what their life should look like. And they don't want to settle for less. They really are a very self-aware generation that has been raised to ask the question, why? Why should I be working at this job that I don't like?
Robbie Ludwig is a psychotherapist in New York.
When patients come to me, I ask them, is it smart and wise to leave a job before you have something else or a plan in place? Can they afford to make that switch?
We're living at a time when the safety nets are disappearing, when corporations are promising less and less to employees. You know, very few jobs have pensions anymore or have any kind of like paid retirement. Young people who have graduated into recession or who have come into this country where they have record student loan debt and they're getting paid less proportionately than their parents did and being promised less, it should be no surprise to anyone that so many are saying, well, I need to take things into my own hands.
For those looking to take control of their lives and finances, the FIRE movement is an attractive thought, but some, like Susie Orman, say it's unrealistic.
Just don't be unrealistic.
Naysayers warn that without padding that 401k over time, workers could be in big trouble later in life.
We're all equal.
Hester admits that not everyone can achieve financial independence, but for her, the free time allows the flexibility to do more fulfilling work.
This year I wrote a book, I write my blog, I do a podcast. All of those things look like work, but they're things that are passion projects for me. It doesn't feel like work.
This is called creative listening.
She now works to share her knowledge with a group often excluded from financial conversations, women.
Women have been, since the beginning of time, excluded from the high finance kind of conversation. So if you're going to talk about investing or you're going to talk about retirement planning, that's a conversation for the men. And if you were a woman on your own, you would have to hire a male financial advisor.
She started hosting female-focused financial literacy workshops.
What are the specific challenges out there, the hurdles that women need to overcome in order to, you know, 2 feet firmly in this movement?
I think we have to be very realistic about the wage gap. We know that women on average earn about 70% of what men earn. We know that women make up by far the bulk of minimum wage earners in most states. So women are coming at this a little bit lower down the hill in many cases. I think women can do everything financially that men can do, but it does take us kind of getting over all the socialization we've received that tells us that, no, this isn't for us, this is for them. No, this is for us too.
For women at the workshop, like Cara Perez, it's an opportunity to learn.
How does it feel when you look around the conference, see all these women? What are you hearing from them?
So many women are ecstatic to be here, and they feel a sense of community and support, which is great because it can feel very isolating at times. Financial literacy isn't something we teach in schools. It's not something many parents feel comfortable talking about or even have themselves. So don't blame anyone, including myself, for not having the perfect financial know-how at 18 years old.
Hester believes financial independence shouldn't be exclusive to the uber wealthy or highly educated. Instead, she recommends these tips for getting started. Be mindful of your expenses and cut out extra spending that doesn't bring you happiness. Focus on increasing your take-home pay every year. And when you do get pay raises, don't spend the new money you're earning. Instead, put it into retirement accounts.
I feel like one of the luckiest people who's ever lived. I think the real power here was just in creating a place for people to come together and less about what I might happen to know. It's more just saying, okay, let's all get together and do this. And I don't think that's going to stop. I think for me, it's not that I want to sit at home and sip umbrella drinks. It's that I want to be able to help make the world better and make this accessible to as many people as possible.
She wants everyone to have the freedom to choose to do something they love. For Nightline, I'm Gloria Riviera in Colorado.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Banker, lawyer, property developer. Who else can afford to drive a $500,000 Lamborghini? But Richard Ng doesn't work in any of these professions. He's a tutor, a celebrity tutor. With his flashy sports car, designer clothes...
I have more than my wife.
You have more clothes.
Expensive watch collection and manicured hair. Ng owns 12 tutorial schools in Hong Kong and has just opened another one in Japan. He has a total of 50,000 students, 300 staff, and earns almost $1.5 million a year.
It's a kind of a chance in Hong Kong. Okay? It comes out that there's certainly a chance for somebody who can teach and who can present themselves well to help students. And at the same time, students find that, oh, you can really help them. And every time I come to your classroom, I can see something beautiful. And more importantly, they can learn some very important exam skills. And that's why we are worth and we are here.
Tutorial schools are big business in Hong Kong, where glossy brochures, giant billboards, and TV ads turn these university graduates into stars. Four major schools dominate, but there are hundreds of others attended by approximately one-third of all students. They pay approximately $130 US a month to improve their grades in a society where information is power. While most industries took a hit during the global financial crisis, Richard Ng says his business and other Hong Kong tutorial schools have proven to be recession-proof. In fact, he claims in the past year, his student numbers have grown by more than 10%. 18-year-old Daisy Chung has been attending Ng's English class for the past 2 years.
My grade improved from C to B now, and I hope there's still a room for me for improvement.
She says she comes for the lessons, but some are attracted to Ng's celebrity status.
He's really a nice teacher and he's really handsome.
I have to admit that they may come to me just for curiosity. Okay, why? Oh, what kind of suits or what kind of clothes do you wear today? Okay, but I think as time goes by, they will know that I can teach them exam skills. This is very important in Hong Kong.
While the big names are multi-millionaires, the average celebrity tutor earns more than $120,000 US a year. Government teachers take home less than half that. The education department says while the schools are popular, it doesn't endorse them.
I'm concerned with how students and parents use the service, whether the money is spent wisely, but if it proves that, you know, it really helps the students, a certain aspect of the students, and then I don't think that I have any right to say that I disapprove it.
No, that was the peak tram.
As long as a child's education is considered an investment, Ng and his colleagues will continue to reap the rewards. Anna Corrin, CNN, Hong Kong.
Do $100,000 a year teaching guitar, and you can do this literally within the first year, even quicker. You could really do it in 6 months. I did it the first time around in 9 months, but I learned from that experience and saw how I could do it even quicker. So let's go. The following strategy has been tested and proven and will work in the average suburb for you. So how do you do it? How do you make $100,000 a year? Through group teaching. Group teaching is the only way that you're going to be able to do it. If you teach privately, you'll be working very long hours, or you'll have to charge very high prices, and I doubt that you would ever get the students. So group teaching is the way to go. Any other alternative I wouldn't really entertain. So why should you group teach? What's good about group teaching? Well, of course, your time is money. You're going to earn more dollars per hour teaching in groups than you would doing it privately. Keeping in mind most teachers teach privately. It's low cost for the student. You can charge less per lesson per student. Each student can pay about half of what they would pay for a private lesson. And so it's more attractive for them, and they're less likely to use the money excuse, I can't afford the lessons. And it helps you to leverage your time. So in other words, you can give more to your students. You can run extra groups, if you like, doing theory or workshops or whatever, where you bring a lot of your students together, 20 or 30 of them together, and do a kind of rock school or workshop. So it really helps you to leverage when you know how to work in groups. And it's actually a fact that they get better results. Students who learn in small groups have been shown through studies to get better results. And they're more fun. Once you get used to it, you get over that little hump of learning how to work with groups, they're a lot more fun. You will find that your day will go really fast teaching groups. Okay, I'm going to show you how to do the marketing, because a big question a lot of teachers have is, how do I get the students? It's all right to say 100 students, but where are they going to come from? Well, I'm going to show you how to do a no-cost marketing strategy, and this has worked time and time again for me. It's how I enrolled over 3,000 students in 2 years, and it all came off pretty much the back of these, what I call flyers. So on the left-hand side there, you can see it says guitar lessons on $9 special. You've got to set that at that price. It's got to be laid out like this. It's got to have this look about it, where you've got the top third has a nice heading, and then you've got in the middle what they get, and then you've got your contact details down below. Now, the way to make it no cost is to partner with someone. You're on one side of the flyer, they're on the other side of the flyer. They pay you to distribute, they pay you for at least half of the printing cost. But if they pay you to distribute, then you can put that cost towards yours. So you're actually going to get paid to do the flyers. I used to get paid about $22 per thousand. It wasn't a lot of money because it still took 4 hours. I was only earning about $6 an hour, but I was doing my own marketing. I was getting paid to do my own marketing. So I thought it was a fantastic deal. Okay, you need to deliver 100,000 because that will bring you 100 students. You'll get one in 1,000. That's pretty well the average. Sometimes you'll get better. In fact, a lot of our teachers are reporting better returns than one in 1,000. But if you work on the one in 1,000, you're pretty safe. It'll take about 400 hours. It takes about four hours to do 1,000. Now, if you were to work 40 hours a week doing flyers, that's a lot of walking. It's a lot of hard work to do in 1 week. But let's just say a normal work week, 40 hours, it would take you around 3 months to be able to deliver that. So 10 weeks, 40 hours a week for 10 weeks is your 400 hours. But if you space it over 6 months, because realistically 40 hours of walking every week is a fair bit of walking. Some people can do it, but most can't. And so if you allow for the 6 months, you'll get your 100 students in that 6 month period. But as I said, look at it over 12 months, and that way that'll allow for rainy days and bad kind of the days you don't want to go out, etc., other things that come up. So you've got 12 months. If you allow for that 12 months, you should quite easily be able to get your 100 students. Now, of course, you've got to enroll them. So that's part of the process that we'll teach you how to actually get them once they get on the phone, enroll them. And then what you're going to do once you enroll them is you're going to put them into groups once you've done your private introduction, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Okay. So what about dropouts? It's okay to say you're going to enroll 100 students over that period, but what about the ones who don't continue? What if a student quits early? What do we do? Okay, let's talk about that. You're going to get another 20% referrals, at least. That's a minimum. If you're not getting that amount of referrals, then you're not doing something right. And again, we will look closely at that. This means that if you enroll 100 students, you're going to get at least 20 more because they're going to recommend friends. They're going to tell somebody else. A lot of the time when they ring up and enroll, they've got a brother, sister, a family member who wants to learn anyway. So it's very easy to get your 20%, no problem. I'll show you how to get 100%, but at this stage, let's just work on the 20% number. I don't want to exaggerate figures here. Just want to give you an idea of what's possible. Now, Each student should be staying for around 2 years, so you shouldn't really be losing students. If you're having students dropping out in that first year, something's wrong. Again, we need to look closely at that. You can always reinvest. And if you're not getting the numbers, if you're falling behind, if you're working on growing your business by, say, 10 students a month, which will get you there in 10 months at 100 students, then if you're not reaching those targets, then reinvest some of the money that you've got coming in back into marketing. Do some online marketing like AdWords or Facebook and so forth to get your students up and keep working towards that goal. Do whatever you need to do to get to your 100. But again, we'll talk about it and I'll show you how to reinvest online. And ask for help. If it's not working for you, you're not getting the numbers, you're not reaching your 10 per month, then let's talk. It's really important. Okay, so referrals. Let's have a closer look at referrals and how you're going to get that 20% or more. First of all, school kids. School kids are great because what happens is if you've got a couple of them learning with you, then they go and talk about their learning their guitar or whatever at school, and then they'll invite friends to come and join you in your classes. Now, when you enroll any school kid, the first thing you should ask them once they commit to saying, yes, I want to enroll, I want to do these lessons with you, is ask, do you have a friend? Because it's really good if you can learn with a friend. You're much more likely to stick with it if you have a friend that goes along on the journey with you. So the time to ask is at the time that they've decided that they're going to enroll with you. That's when you're most likely to get another student start. Now, parents are a huge one. Because parents talk and parents are very proud of their kids when they're doing something well. So obviously if you're a good teacher and you're doing a good job, then they're going to refer you. But you can actually promote this even more by being a good person and a good teacher and involving the parents in the process, getting to know them, talk about things that are going on. And that way they will perceive you as a great teacher and then they will go and tell their friends, my little boy's learning guitar and the teacher up there, blah, blah, blah. He's great. You know, he really is very thorough and got a great method, etc. So parents are a huge one. Social groups. Everybody has social groups. So you can find out about what kind of social groups people interact with and see if you can get in on those social groups somehow. For instance, I'll give a good example. One of my parents one of the kids I taught, she was head of the PNC of one of the local schools, very influential, and she knew a lot of people on that. And as I spoke to her, I offered to give her a free voucher for some lessons to give away at their annual raffles and fates, etc. So she promoted, and everyone has social groups. Just find out what they are. They could be sports groups, scouting groups, etc. And of course, friends. We already spoke about that a little bit, but just find out who their friends are. Tell them that. If their friends are learning with them, it's a much better experience. Okay, what about if a student does not want to join a group? Now, this is a common one. A lot of teachers say, I've got this student, doesn't really want to be in a group, wants to do private lessons. How do I handle that? What do I do? What do I say to them? So let's have a closer look. You make it very clear from the start that group is the way to go. And this really is from the very first phone call when you go to enroll them. You might get some students who go, look, I'm looking for private. Thank you anyway. I don't want to do your lessons if it means I'm going to do group. But explain to them, and this is what I would get that every so often, and I would simply say to them, look, you're getting 5 weeks of private lessons at the same price as my group lessons. Why not do it anyway? See what it's about. See if you enjoy it. If you like it, great, and you want to go into the group, good. If not, well, you've got 5 weeks of really good quality tuition at a group rate. And most, I think, just about everyone I can think of, agreed, thought, well, yeah, what I got to lose. I was charging $99. I was giving them all the materials. I'd already had told them about how good the course was, my experience, and so for $99, it was a bargain. So they thought, well, yeah, I may as well give it a go. So once you've got them and once you enroll them and they come for those first five lessons, then start selling the benefits. Talk about the advantages of learning in group, which I'll cover in a minute. Ask them to try. So look, at least give it a try. Come for the first week after the private introduction of joining a group to see how you like it. If you like it, great. If you don't, then don't pay anything. Don't even charge them. Just say, look, just come along, no charge, and we'll see how you go. And of course, if you're having trouble getting them into groups, ask for help. Again, we will walk you through it. So sell the benefits. Here are the benefits of group. First of all, let me say this. They will often rather stay with you because you have built a trusting relationship than to go somewhere else and have to start again. Now, this is very, very common. Once they get to know you, they've got over that kind of initial shyness or nervousness of learning guitar. And often the ones who don't want to join groups are the ones who are more likely to be shy because they don't want to be in with others. But that shyness is also means that they've got to go and find another teacher, and they've already bonded with you. They've built some trust with you, so they're more likely to stick with you. So once they start doing group, they will see the benefits as well, especially if you can group them with someone who is good, a good match, sorry. Not in terms of skill, but personality. And I talk about this a lot. It's the personality that matters more. So let's have a look at that. So sell the benefits. The benefits are better results. If they learn in groups, it's just a fact. It's been proven they've got better results. They're less likely to quit. Remember to tell them that they increase their chances dramatically of going the distance. They learn to think little things like play in time. By learning in a group, then they all learn to play together. This is a skill that a lot of people miss. A lot of students miss if they're just learning one-on-one. And the cost is lower, of course. So by being in the group rather than going off and doing private lessons, they're going to save a bit of money. And one of the big points there, especially for parents, when you mention this, is that they're going to be more confident because they're going to learn to play in front of other people straight away. So here's the strategy. Let's have a look at it. What is the strategy? Strategy I recommend is as follows. Start off with a five-week private introduction. So that's one-on-one. Then they join a group, of course. And you want to make your groups about five per group. You can go to six or seven if you really want to, but five I found worked the best for me. No private lessons. Don't even offer it as an option because it's just going to take up valuable group lesson time that you could be using later. So that's the strategy. Very simple. 5 weeks private, join a group, five per group, and no private lessons. All right. What if you have, this is a common question, what if you have no suitable groups? I often get teachers say, I've got this student and they're not going to really fit into any group. Now, there are some extreme examples of students who won't fit into any of your groups, and that's common. That's not common. It's rare that you'll have a student who won't fit into any group. 99% of them will. If you have that student that really can't fit into any group, you can either choose to just do them for a little while and see how you go if you're building your business, or you can pass them on to somebody else, which is what I would have done. So just for the record, 97% of my students were able to be grouped. So here's my first bit of advice, group them anyway. If you think you can't group them, just group them anyway, like I said, except for that 3%. And that 3% are usually students who have severe learning disabilities of some description, so they can't really work in a group, or the age, you don't have anyone within their age group, so there's nothing really appropriate. So otherwise, group them anyway, despite what you think. Look for the positives. Look for the things about them in a particular group that are going to work rather than focusing too much on the negatives. Stick to the positives and be creative. Look for ways to work them into the group, different ways that the groups can work, like getting the better students to help, the new student or the more challenged student. You know, get them to work together as a team. Get them to understand they're all part of the same team and help each other. And take a risk. You know, there are plenty of examples I can think of where I had a student, I thought, there's no way that they're going to work in this group, but I'm going to take a risk on it and see what happens anyway. And I'd put them in there.
All right, today's podcast is titled, E-commerce is the New 9-to-5. E-commerce is the New 9-to-5. Last three number, 619-768-2945. There are people out there looking for, all right, you know what, let me check on something, I'll be right back. Okay, I had to answer the door. Anyway, e-commerce is a new 9-to-5. You have a lot of people that are looking for and trying to find the right right part-time job. Some are looking for the right 9-to-5 job. E-commerce is where it's at. Not everything is e-commerce, but a lot of things are, and a lot of new things are, and they're working. That's why we've been on it all week, and every week we're going to have at least one, if not two, podcasts on this, where you'll get to talk to people. Because for the most part, it's really not complicated at all. Let me see. Okay, we're trying to get some straight. So anyway, on today's podcast, we play the audio of a guitar teacher making $100,000 a year. His first year, he did it in about 9 months. He does group teaching. He probably did a lot of online marketing to get that. You can do it online as well, e-commerce wise. There's a lot of opportunity out there. So, on that note, since my audience seems to be quiet at the moment, we're going to end it for the day, and everyone have a good rest of the day, and get on YouTube, get online, and study up on e-commerce. We'll be back tomorrow with another installment.
At Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.